Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Let's turn to Acts chapter 1 in your Bibles, the Word of God. And we'll just read verse 1 to verse 8. So can we look at that together? In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he'd chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus, at this point in time, when we are reading Acts chapter 1, Jesus had accomplished and finished the work of the cross. He had died for all the world, the sins of the whole world. And he had taken on himself. He became sin for us. He became a curse for us. He took on demonic powers, all the power and authority of the devil on the cross. And he took on the rejection and even the wrath of God as he hung there and became sin, as our kind of substitute for sin. And on the cross, Jesus had declared his last breath had been, it is finished. And he had actually accomplished everything the Father sent him to do. And the greatest work of all was the work of the cross. That was the reason why Jesus came, the Son of God, came as a man to die on the cross, so that all who believe in him will not perish, will not carry on in their sin, will not carry on separated from God, but come to a place of eternal life, the gift of eternal life. And Jesus, once he declared it is finished on the cross, he met up with his disciples. He rose again from the dead. Now, Jesus did not raise himself from the dead, because Jesus was dead physically, and his spirit, he had left his body, and he'd dealt with everything that needed to be dealt with. But God, the Holy Spirit, raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible's clear about that. Jesus didn't raise himself. God, the Holy Spirit, raised Jesus from the dead. This was God's life, resurrection life, bringing Jesus back to life. And in the proof of this is why it says many convincing proofs, the scripture says, that he was alive. He showed up to his disciples. He showed himself over a period of 40 days. That's really interesting, that the resurrected Christ with wounds where the nails had gone through his hands and his feet, the wound in his side, he was no longer dead but alive. And his disciples could even touch him. They would eat with him. Jesus would eat food in this spirit-filled, resurrected body. And he was as real to them as he had been before he died. So this is the living, glory, risen Jesus Christ. And as he's sort of conversing with them, talking to them, the scripture says he talked to them about the kingdom. Now, it doesn't record all the messages of those 40 days. But obviously he felt it was important to talk about the kingdom of God, as was his message when he was actually, the early years of his ministry, he was always speaking about the kingdom. And he had commissioned them, and if you read Matthew 28, one of the things he said after he'd risen, he'd commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of all people. In other words, he was giving believers in him and the future believers, that would include you and me, what we call the Great Commission, to go into all the world and make disciples, make followers of Jesus Christ. And he said, how are you going to do this? Well, you teach them to do or obey everything I taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'll be with you always. But Jesus gave them this immense task, which it still is today. It's an immense task for us as believers, that we should receive God's word to us to go into all the world. Now, there isn't one believer that commission doesn't belong to. It belongs to me and it belongs to you. It's not a separate word for the first disciples. It's for every disciple in every generation. To go into all the world. So Jesus wasn't saying, I want you to cluster together until you die and go to glory, physically die. He says, I want you to fulfill my plan, which is because I love the world so much, I died for everyone, not just you. I paid the price for everyone, not just you. There's good news for everyone, that you don't have to stay separated from God, but you can come into a personal relationship with God. Your sins can be forgiven. The old life gone and a new life come. Just as Jesus showed that resurrection, so God wants to give you a new life. And we are to go into all the world bringing this hope and this glorious good news. But when Jesus was speaking to these disciples, they had heard the word, they'd been with Jesus, they knew what Jesus had said, they knew how they should be living, they'd seen the miracles, they'd seen the loaves and fishes multiplied, and they thought they were ready to go. Because hadn't Jesus done everything that he said he was going to do? But Jesus says, don't go just yet. Even though you believe in me, even though you have committed your life to follow me, before you go, you need to receive. Before you go on this worldwide mission, individually and as the Church of Jesus Christ all over the world, we have the same mandate, the same commission. Before you do, receive the Holy Spirit. And he sent them to go back to Jerusalem. And they went back, and in verse 14, it says they all gathered together, and apparently there were about 120 of them, and they all joined together constantly in prayer. They were praying. They were praying because they were like, Jesus had ascended. He had left now and gone to his Father. And he said, I'm going to send the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, upon all who believe in me. And so they met there and they prayed, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. And so we see Mary, the brothers of Jesus, all those close followers of Jesus Christ, knew that he had risen again, knew that they had a commission to change the world. But Jesus says, don't do anything until you receive the Holy Spirit. I find this so important in terms of what God wants to do in me and in us as his church. It's so important we see that Jesus doesn't just want us to know the Word of God. He doesn't just want us to be believers who accept Him as the one who presents us before God faultless. Only Jesus can wash your sins. Only Jesus can give you a new heart. Believing in Jesus is the way. Through faith, we receive a new heart. We can be cleansed from our sin through believing and accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and our Lord. That is the most marvelous miracle you will ever have. You accept that Jesus died for your sins, that He rose again from the dead 3 days later, and that all who receive Him, He gives the right to become a child of God. He changes you from the inside. He gives you a new heart, and the sin nature is removed, and you now have a new nature. And that nature is to be like God. God puts His Spirit in you that you now love righteousness. You love pleasing God. But Jesus said, that's not it altogether. Because I want you to receive my Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. He is God. He's not an it. He's not something that makes you shake. And sometimes you feel the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is a person. And He Himself is God, equal to the Father and the Son. And Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. I think that's amazing. It's better for you that I leave, He told His disciples, so that I can send the Holy Spirit. And He will come and He will be with you and He will be in you. So God's plan was always to live in people. To be a dwelling place that God and man would once again dwell together. And Jesus made that possible through the work of the cross, through shedding His blood. But I think it's amazing that Jesus says you cannot fulfill anything that God wants you to do without the Holy Spirit. You might have the right plan. You might even have the goal to reach your friends for Jesus. You might even be part of a project or doing something to see people saved and discipled. But Jesus Himself said, you need the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit today. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit today. He is not just a feeling, an occasional experience of worship. We need Him to fulfill the will and the purpose of God for our lives. And in fact, Ephesians 5:18, the Bible tells us that we should always go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if we're not full of the Holy Spirit, we won't see the power that those early Christians saw. Because it's the power of God that will change your witness in the world. Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power to do the same works as Jesus. Power to heal the sick. Now, don't tell me you don't want that. If you love people and love God, you want people well. Don't let your religious mindset of your previous church experience limit what God wants to do with you. He wants every believer filled with the Holy Spirit, receiving the power that only the Holy Spirit can give. Of course, first we need to be clean. We need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Of course, we need to give our lives in faith to Him. But we need you, Holy Spirit. We need you today to fill us with power. We cannot get the job done with the Word alone. It's the Word and the Spirit. And Jesus made that clear. The secret to a fruitful life is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Always allowing the Word to take first place, but to be filled with God. When I say filled with the Holy Spirit, it means be filled with God. Be filled with God, God is saying to you today. Don't be full of anything else but God. Be a vessel that is topped up, overflowing with God, the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, God would anoint specific people for different ministries and offices. He would anoint a prophet. And this is just occasionally he would come upon certain individuals to bring his word to people. So you need an anointing to bring the word of God. And God would anoint prophets and they would bring God's word, God's message to God's people, to the nation. They would even speak the word over the nations. And those words are still powerful today because they're the word of God that never lacks power and never changes. The Holy Spirit, the God anointed, came upon priests to fulfill their duty to serve God. A priest couldn't serve God without the Holy Spirit's anointing coming upon them. And kings, like King David, he couldn't fulfill his leadership, his role in being the king of Israel, without the Holy Spirit. And in fact, in the Psalms, in 1992, I think it is, David said, "You anoint me with a fresh oil, fresh oil. I need an anointing of fresh oil, fresh grace of the Holy Spirit." But the Old Testament was just a shadow of what the glory of the New Covenant is today. In the Old Testament, only one or two few chosen people could receive the Holy Spirit. But it was always in God's mind to see people, ordinary people, receiving His Son as their Savior and Lord, born again, and then filled with the Holy Spirit. It was always His plan to come and fill His church with Himself. And if you look over in Numbers, the book of Numbers, I don't really know why it's called Numbers. Never asked that question before. Maybe the Lord will reveal it to me, or maybe I've just missed the obvious. But anyway, Numbers chapter 17. There was a little bit of, previous to this, there was a little bit of tension amongst God's people. Because they said anybody can hear God and you don't have to be specially anointed. And they were fighting with the leadership and arguing and quarreling about stuff. And the Lord just decided to sort out all the quarreling by showing who was anointed. And in verse 1 it says, "The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites, get 12 staffs." These, you could just say a stick, a wooden rod. Yeah, a staff. "Get 12 staffs from them, one from the leader of each ancestral tribe. Write on the name of each man on his staff. And on the name of Levi, write Aaron's name." Now, Aaron was anointed to be priest. God had anointed him for this ministry. "Place them in the tent of meeting in front of the testimony where I meet with you." In other words, bring them into my presence. These sticks. A stick. 12 sticks with names on. Just imagine this. I think it's fun. God says, bring 12 sticks belonging to 12 different people. Write all their names on it and stick them in my presence. Stick them before me. And he said, "The staff belonging to the man I choose will sprout, and I will rid myself of this constant grumbling against you by the Israelites." So Moses spoke to the Israelites and their leaders. gave him 12 staffs, one for each leader of every ancestral tribe, and Aaron's staff was among them. Moses did what God said, and he placed the staffs before the Lord. Now, verse 8, the next day Moses entered the tent of testimony and saw Aaron's staff, which represented the house of Levi. It not only sprouted, but it budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. Awesome. Budded, blossomed, almonds, overnight. Quick, speedy. I want to tell you, when things are done in the spirit, they happen really quick, and they happen supernaturally. What you can't do, God can. We can't fulfill the Great Commission, but with the Holy Spirit we can. And sometimes I just think, gosh, I'm just a dry stick. Without God, I'm a dry stick. But I'm not without God. I'm in Christ. He is the vine, and I'm the branches. I have been connected. I'm one with Him in spirit. But sometimes the sap isn't flowing as well as it could through this branch. It doesn't mean I'm not in God's presence. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. But I need to see the life of the Holy Spirit bud, blossom, and bear fruit. Can you see this? And without the Holy Spirit, I'm definitely a dry stick. And you are the same. You need the Holy Spirit as much as me. And we need to pray sometimes. Like those early disciples, learn how to pray. So that they came into a place with God, I really do need to be filled with your spirit. Not this is a good concept for a Sunday morning to bring to the church. But we really do need the Holy Spirit's power. You can have this wonderful evangelist come last weekend to declare all these projects and missions and strategies. And we've got so much going on here. We've got loads of stuff that we want to do that is happening and needs to happen. But not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so, Jesus is the primary example, the best example, the perfect example for us. And in John chapter 5, verse 19, when people were questioning, where do you get this power from? Where do you see these miracles? Is it because, you know, who are you? And Jesus said, of myself, I can do nothing. John 5, 19. Of myself, I can do nothing. Now, don't you think that's incredible that the Son of God, who spoke the worlds into order and creation, that made the heavens and the starry host by speaking, He is the Word of God. Don't you think that He said, of myself I can do nothing, that's a remarkable statement? And the reason He did that was because He emptied Himself of all His special rights and powers when He became man. He always was the Son of God. He remained the Son of God when He walked on the earth. But He lived as a perfect man. Fully human. And so, when the scripture says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power, with the Holy Spirit, and He went around doing good, in Acts when it says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, what it meant was God anointed a man to go around doing good. Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit transformed everything that Jesus did. He depended on the Holy Spirit and not on Himself. Jesus let go of his right to rule. He let go of being in charge. And he became submissive to another. Submissive to another. He became yielded to another. And that is why Jesus saw the power of the Holy Spirit in his ministry, because he completely humbled himself and made himself an obedient servant. And actually we see in Jesus' ministry the secret of receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us, you know, we love the manifestations, don't we? I mean, I'd like to be in a meeting where roaring wind and fire come down and we see. And it's like half our time we look for manifestations. Sometimes I think we miss the secret of being filled with the Spirit. And that is yielding, submitting, surrendering to God. Fully, all that I am, all that I have, I yield, I bow. Fill me every day, Holy Spirit, with your power to go and do your will. Let's turn to Matthew 3. We looked at this a bit on Thursday, but we're just going to have a look at it together. Quite a few of us weren't there on Thursday, so it'd just be good to have a look at this. And we need you, Holy Spirit. Without you, we can do nothing. If Jesus said that, we need to say that. Even though we're born again, sons of God, we're right with you. We thank you, Lord, that we need you, Holy Spirit. Your word shows us our need of you. You know, this isn't just a type of church. This is the word of God for his church. Sometimes we think, oh, well, the Baptists are like this. The Pentecostals are like this. Let's have the word as the standard, telling us we need the Holy Spirit. One of the things that you and I sometimes find difficult to do, and that's surrender our minds to the Holy Spirit, to the Word. But God has given us his Word so we can be safe and not come out with some strange teaching. Because the Word of God is the truth and it's eternal. And if it's in here, it's for us. If it's in here, it's for us. And for every church. I don't care which church you go to, it's for every church. It's not specially. God wants all his people filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Matthew 3, we see the wonderful and most amazing example of Jesus. The more you see that Jesus gave his life up to be used by the Father to do the will of God, the more you will love him. Because he did this for you and for me. And in verse 13, it says, when Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me. Jesus replied, let it be so for now. It's proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, who I love. With him I am well pleased. John the Baptist was in the desert preaching repentance, a confession of sin to the nation. And the nation were going out saying, yeah, we need to be right with God. I want to be right with God. And they were repenting, confessing their sins, and then they were being baptized as a sign, really, of a washing away of those sins. But all of them knew that unless there was a change on the inside, they'd just go on sinning. But at least for a time, for a moment, they could be free. And Jesus, the perfect man, because he became Son of Man, he is God. Jesus, the perfect man, comes walking, looking like any other human being, really. And he comes walking to John, and John recognizes, but you're God. And Jesus said, I haven't come to live out that position that I hold. I've come to serve and give my life a ransom for many. So he said, permit it for now. Now's the time where I'm giving myself completely to God and his purpose for mankind. So he comes and he gets baptized. He goes under the water. Heaven is opened. The Holy Spirit came like a dove. And a voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved son. With you I'm well pleased. Now this is an unusual baptism. Jesus is obeying. First of all, this is the key. Listen. Jesus is submitting himself to God's will. He's there because he wants to obey God. The Spirit hadn't come yet, but he's walking in obedience. Isn't that wonderful? He wants to do what God wants. So he says, yeah, I will give my whole being. And I just think Jesus is saying, Father, all of me. I want you to fill all of me, so I give all of me. Do you know what? You empty, you can fill. If you empty yourself, you can be filled. It's very easy. You imagine a glass that's full. You can't put anything in it. But if you empty that glass, it can be filled. And so Jesus was saying, basically, I completely give myself. And the Holy Spirit came upon him from that moment on. He had never yet done a miracle, hadn't spoken to preach the word, hadn't taught anyone. But now the Holy Spirit came and filled him. And once he was filled with the Holy Spirit, a voice came. Some of you maybe haven't heard the voice for a long time. Maybe you read the word and say, that's all I need. But Jesus said, I want you to hear my voice. I want you to be sensitive to hearing my voice. Because in hearing through that relationship with the Lord, being filled with the Holy Spirit, you begin to be led by him. You begin to see what he wants to do. You begin to hear what God wants to do for the friend at work. You begin to be open to another realm of communication. And it's the God kind of communication the world needs today. It's needing the voice to restore back to the church the ability to hear God's voice. And the secret is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that means that anyone who is a cleansed, born-again believer, someone who has received Jesus Christ as Lord, anyone qualifies for the Holy Spirit. The measure you yield will be the measure you will be filled. We determine the amount of the Holy Spirit we have in our lives. You determine the amount of God you want to see manifest in you through your yielded, Jesus is the example, the yielded submission to God the Father. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. But there is something, and I want to bring freedom to certain people here today, because I believe God gave me this word, particularly with reference to being filled with the Holy Spirit. There is something called a religious spirit or a religious demon. And that religion, that religious spirit tells you all the time you will never be good enough for the life that you read of in the book of Acts. You'll never be quite enough There'll always be something wrong with you. And God's report for your life, if you are in Christ, is you are good enough because Jesus has become your good enough. And so you qualify if you have Jesus. And there is a religious demon that is always putting pressure on people, saying you're never quite good enough. And God wants to set people free today from feeling they're not quite good enough. And I'm going to interrupt the message and go back to the message in a moment. We're going to stand and pray. Thank you, Lord. And then we'll go back to the word. Because God does not want you thinking. You've been under pressure and whatever you do isn't enough. If you've ever felt like that, just put your hand up and I'd like to pray. Yeah. Now, I want to tell you, it's a religious spirit. It's a demon that is attacking you. Now, lift your hands right up. God, Father, I thank you for the freedom that Christ has brought to us. That it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And today, we thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus and Christ in us is enough for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to do something and I want you to declare, I believe in Jesus. I have accepted him as my Savior. He is my Lord. And he has become my righteousness. I am right with God through faith in Jesus. And so I am ready. And in the right condition to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I submit my life to him. And resist the devil. And you must flee. I tell every religious spirit, go now. In Jesus' name. I am free. Come on. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you that it's only by grace that any of us qualify. Not of works, not returning to the law, but it's absolutely, entirely by grace. And I want to thank you, Lord, that through this ministry this morning, through the ministry of your Spirit about dealing with religious spirits, that there is going to come a new freedom, a new consciousness of you and being right with you in the hearts and minds of your church. A righteousness consciousness and not a sin consciousness. Come on, Father, thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Would you be seated? I hate that religious spirit. Was always attacking Jesus, questioning everything. And you know, you have to learn to listen to the right news, the right word. Because God's word actually continually keeps us free. Jesus sets us free, but the word will keep you free. The truth about who you are in Christ Jesus and what Jesus has done for you. Now, Matthew chapter 4, the last verse of Matthew 3. Jesus was told by the Father, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Imagine hearing that. Isn't that brilliant? Jesus gets up out of the water, the Holy Spirit fills him. I mean, the Trinity are having a great time. At last, the Spirit is filling Jesus, anointing him to do the ministry that he's been called to do. But not only that, he hears God, the voice of God comes, and the voice is so good. He doesn't say, right, about time, it's time you were out there. Get on with it. He doesn't get him into depths of prayer and intercession about, can you see how bad things are? He says, you're my beloved Son. In you, I'm well pleased. And I find this like the step of obedience to surrender your life to God, to be filled with Holy Spirit. God has this statement over his son. I love you, and I never will not. You know, I love you, Jesus. God actually said, I love my son. I mean, if you're a natural father, you'll be saying, I love my boy. I love him. And he says, he doesn't just say, I love you. He says, I'm well pleased. Galatians 3:26. Just in case you don't believe me, we're going to read this. Because what does that mean for you? Because you might have a bit of negative thinking still stuck around in your head, which should leave with this word. Change your mind. Renew it with the word. Galatians 3:26 says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now hang on a minute. Sons of God means you were born of God. God gave birth to you. If you've accepted Jesus, you have been born again. You're a new person. Through faith, trusting in Jesus alone. Wow. You didn't work for that, did you? You didn't try and become a son. Right, today I'm going to try and be. You can't try and be like God. You've got to be made like him. A new creation in Christ Jesus. The answer is Christ in us. Your DNA has changed. You used to be a sinner. Now you're actually righteous. And you want to please God. The want inside of you has changed. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized or immersed into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. So what Jesus heard that day is, you're my beloved son. Now we know he's the one and only son of God. But Jesus died to bring many sons to glory. What is glory? Glory is the very character, nature of God. It's God himself. Jesus died to bring many sons to glory. Because Christ has become your life. He has become your life. And so you are called by God a son of God. And so whenever you do what Jesus did, and we're just using the baptism as an example, you surrender in obedience to the Lord. You ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. You will hear, you're my beloved son. I am well pleased with you. And we're not pleasing God because of our own efforts, but because of Christ. He sees Jesus and he says, I see Jesus, and so you are well pleasing in my sight. You are well pleasing to God in Christ. God says, I'm well pleased and I love you. I love you. You are my son. I love you. It becomes really personal. And that is so much part of, we need a restoration. The Holy Spirit has been put in us. He's come to live in us. To restore this witness by the Spirit that we are children of God. That we cry out, Abba, Father. You're my father. I'm your child. There's a restoration of, I belong to God and he loves me and he has chosen me and he has filled me with his power. And Jesus, in verse, Matthew, back to Matthew, we're going to finish with this and pray. Are you receiving something from the Lord today, yeah? Fresh desire to walk in his ways, to obey the Lord, and to yield your life to being filled. Do you know the most exciting adventures for us are ahead? The days that are ahead, I am convinced of it. I'm absolutely convinced, but it'll be because we are empty of ourselves, but filled with God. And it means we have to lay down our lives in a new way. It does mean there needs to be a sacrifice of you and what you want and what you think and how you want your life to go. I want my life to go his way. But you know, often we're looking for the power, but we're not yielding. That's the key to this whole message this morning. The power comes with yielding, with surrender, with giving up, with praying a kind of prayer where you give up your own life and say, fill me, God. I'd rather be full of God than me, actually. I'm a bit boring. My life goes, you know, just in you, your life, you'll do the same things every day. There'll be nothing creative. You'll just do the same old, same old, same old, same old. Groundhog Day. It'll be down that Groundhog Day, you know. Oh, I wake up and it's still the same. We need the Holy Spirit. I don't want a Groundhog Day in 10 years. Oh, here we are, just 10 years older. Some of you will have raised the dead by then. Some of you will be doing so much in the community because the power of God is transforming your witness in the world. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to get out into the hospitals and say, the Son of God rose again. He died for you to receive this healing. And so in the name of Jesus, be healed. Boom! Out they come. They need what the Spirit wants to give you. And maybe you're sitting there saying, well, I have been filled. Well, let me tell you, there's a bit more of you to go and a bit more of God to come in. It's the same with me. I am speaking of myself when I say, I want to give up more. It's an attractive thing to surrender to God. Okay, sometimes it's a bit like, well, it's going to cost me. But you know, the joy outweighs the cost. Verse 1 of chapter 4, Matthew 4. God's going to continue to move this morning. He's set people free. He's giving you a hunger and a vision for what's possible. But he's going to carry on setting us free. So Jesus heard this amazing affirmation. And then in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Whoa. He was led by the Spirit. Wow. Filled with the Spirit, you will be. And the things of God, the fruit, is in the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. Please don't be dull and full of yourself. God wants to use you. Recognize that actually other people need you to be led by the Spirit. Don't think of it's a life you can't live. You can. You qualify. But this emptied of me and full of God, Lord, may it happen in my life. So Jesus led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Isn't that interesting? He didn't raise the dead on the first day of being filled with the Spirit. I was reading this in a fresh light this week and I thought, there goes the Spirit filled. I'm anointed for miracles. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I've been anointed to preach good news, to cast out demons, set captives free. People will hear the good news. Come on, God, let's go. Let's go to the desert. Not quite what I would have thought. And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. So in other words, he came into a confrontation with the devil. The devil was going to come and tempt him to disobey God, to stop living for God, to use his power for himself, to be selfish. And I think this is amazing. He said he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and then comes the challenge from the devil. When you're hungry, when you're physically weak, how many of you know the greatest challenges that come against your flesh is when you are hungry. You're not feeding on the word sometimes. And you're weak. You're physically weak. You're tired. At that point, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you are weak, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you guys, you need to know that the secret to breaking free of sin is being filled with the Holy Spirit. The secret is being filled with God's ability. Yeah. Not being a good person, but being filled with God. It's a key to see here the secret of overcoming temptation. Now we all get tempted. I don't know if you've been tempted this week. I have. Chocolate tempts me. Not praying and just lying down and doing nothing. Has anybody been tempted not to pray this week? Look, I'm sure all of us. You just weren't honest enough to put your hand up. But I'm sure there's been a temptation to do life on the run. Oh, God, bless me. Oh, God, bless my day. Not, Father, what is your will today? I surrender myself, fill me, so that I can go out into today in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that I can live empowered by you to make the right choices, to come against all temptation and say, with him, I can win over all temptation to sin. So Jesus didn't even fast in his own strength. Jesus, filled with the Spirit, fasted. Jesus, filled with the Spirit, was led. Jesus, filled with the Spirit, dealt with the devil. Some of you might have got the key to the secret of the message this morning. And the key is the person and work of the Holy Spirit in you. We need the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit to surrender every day. We need to say, Lord, not my will, but yours, when we're making life choices and decisions. But most of all, God needs us to be filled with him so that he can use us to be the witness that we're called to be. Now, I believe that when you're full of the Spirit, your flesh doesn't give you that much hassle. The more you're filled with the Spirit, the less your flesh dictates what you're going to do. By the Spirit, Romans tells us, by the Spirit to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Your flesh will always want to please itself. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you have the power to say no. The power comes from God. And so it's not like, right, I will not do that again. You're saying, Father, I thank you. You fill me with your ability to resist this and to actually glorify you with the choices that I'm going to make this week. The flesh, you know, the church can get into all kinds of fleshly stuff. You do know that. You read your Bible, don't you? You can see it in your own life. And in the book of James, chapter 4, you just read about how dominated by their own desires this church had got. You're quarreling, you're fighting, you're wanting things, you're coveting what other people have got. You're saying, what I've got isn't enough. I'm always wanting more. There's like a spirit of the world has come in. You're committing adultery in your relationship with God because you're more friends with the world than you are God. Serious. Serious time in this church. Not only that, you're praying only when you want something. You don't pray to seek God and to pray for the needs of the world. You just pray for you. You end up self-centered. And he said, basically, you ask prayer from the wrong motives. It's all about bless me. And Jesus is all about, I want to bless you by you giving yourself completely over to me so that I can make you a blessing to the world. What's James' reply? He says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace. He gives grace to those who say, okay, God, I messed up, but I'm going to surrender. I'm going to say sorry for being so selfish. I'm going to say, Lord, I want my life to be empty so that you can be filling me with your power. So he says, submit to God, then resist the devil. Submit to God, then you'll get the victories. Not just because you're a son of God, but because you're a son of God who is filled. Let's stand. Hallelujah, Jesus.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.